You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3. Yeah, commuting sucks, but these guys don't.
Gretzky, Kyle Orr, and Jerry, soon to be the Mount Rushmore of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Old Jerry is just throwing himself on the Mount Rushmore of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I would say that's a bit of a stretch.
A bit rich.
Suggesting that Gretzky, Howe, Orr, and Jerry is the Mount Rushmore of the Hockey Hall of Fame.
By the way, I mean, I think the Hall of Fame proceedings are our property, but do you have any kind of idea on how Jerry got in there? Like, did someone just, a group of people...
Yeah, the panel. They have a panel of, I believe, 18 members.
So someone just stood up and said, we got to get Jerry in, like, this year.
Well, he must have been voted in. Now, they have a rule that they don't have to explain anything. I believe McKenzie's on the 18-man panel. I'm pretty sure Bob is. So we'll see what Bob can tell us at 6:20.
I don't think he can tell you much. And no. I think there's somebody else we may know that's on that panel. I want to say, like, well... I think the Quizmaster's involved somehow.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, I think Michael Farber is. Yeah. Michael Farber part of it.
There's a lot of reputable people involved there. So, you know, I think it's impressive, and it's a great honor to be involved in that. It's just, I think they're sworn to secrecy, because I would love to know what the process is, and how do you throw somebody's name in there and everyone goes, yes, 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 no, no, like...
I don't know.
Bob
can't
talk about it, though. I believe he... I think we've tried to ask... Wasn't Brian Burke at one point involved?
Yeah, I believe he's still on it, yeah. No, I know that that's the rule. And really, it's a cop-out so that they don't have to explain themselves.
Right.
You all come out and you agree, I don't want to explain it, I don't want to get into it, so let's come up with this rule. It's their own rule. They could change the rule if they wanted to.
It's an internal rule.
Yeah, you come up with your own rules. But the rule is you don't talk about the votes. You don't talk about what was said, which is fine. I understand that. It's somewhat of a sensitive topic. I mean, right. We are talking about Hall of Famers here. I don't think too many people would be insulted hearing that their name was included at all. It's a very small portion of the hockey community that even gets into a position like that. But I said at 4, I mean, we'll find out more tomorrow. And maybe as the Hall of Famers get into town today, I believe it is, and certainly tomorrow, there will be more about Brodeur and St. Louis and Heffert, but I get the impression like it's pretty much all Bettman. Like the pieces I'm reading and this is Gary Bettman's weekend going into the Hall of Fame with some other people.
And friends.
And friends. Gary and friends. Jerry and friends are going into the Hall of Fame.
No way.
Tell me I'm wrong.
Marty Brodeur, like this is...
Tell me I'm wrong. Because Bettman is so polarizing... There's a lot of people. You don't have a take on Brodeur going into the Hall of Fame. It's simply a celebration.
Yes.
Of course he's in the Hall of Fame.
But there, you think there's people that believe that Gary Bettman doesn't belong in the Hall of Fame?
I don't believe he deserves to be in there right now.
Right now. But so you challenging the timing.
Absolutely.
But not the...
I did the second it was announced. I believe...
It should be like playing. Get 3 years when you retire, then maybe you go in.
You're a standing commissioner.
Yeah.
You're running the league right now. Why are you going in the Hall of Fame? I honestly don't understand why he's going in right now. If I were him, I'd recuse myself. I'd be like, you know what, guys, hold off until I retire. He's supposed to be retiring in 2 or 3 years. He's had an unbelievable run. Yeah. I'm not saying he shouldn't ever get in there, regardless of what pops into your mind first or how you feel about him.
What did you say he has left?
I thought he only had a couple of years left. I thought he signed an extension up until the next CBA.
So when he's done, is the percentages done?
Well, I guess... Maybe, or they just go completely haywire, because then he's on vacay mode, and he's got nothing to lose at that point.
Yeah, that would be actually
You think
a lot
the percentages
fun.
Go crazier than they are right now?
I guess. It's a possibility. He's got no responsibility to anybody. He's not beholden to anybody.
Yeah.
I guess.
I think
that
would be actually...
But we'll get McKenzie and LeBron to explain how much time he has left on his... On his deal. I don't know. I mean, maybe he's... Yep. I don't know all the inner workings of Gary Bettman's contract, but I don't have a problem with him long-term being in there. I think if you're the commissioner of a league for 25 years, you've done... I'm not suggesting he hasn't done a lot of good things.
Right. But you're just challenging the timing of
it. Yes. Like, again, I believe there's going to be another lockout. This guy's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and he's going to be overseeing a lockout.
Okay.
I don't why would you have that? Why would he be in the Hall of Fame when he's still running the league?
Yeah. Well, that's...
You obviously disagree. You think he should be in right now, but...
I think he's a Hall of Famer. I don't disagree with your sentiment as far as timing, because when is the actual right time to put somebody in the Hall of Fame? As a player, there's a standard time.
Three years after they're done.
Right, so that's... But that's been put forth. With Bettman's case, like, players don't play. I mean, it's different with players, because players usually don't play 30 years, so... You know, it's a couple years after you're done, that's it, you're in. With Gary Bettman, I would, you know, I don't mind him being in right now, but I can see your logic there. But what if he wants to do this another 15 years?
Well, like, fine, so be it. Sorry, it's a privilege to be in the Hall of Fame.
I understand that.
It's not a right.
But I would, the problem I have, I guess this is the disagreement I have with it, is guys like who go in when they should have been in sooner, like Pat Burns. You know, he passed away. I would like to see him go in before that.
I'm not a fan of any of the older... I mean, the Russian guys... Who is it?
Why would you ask that question? You know that the two of us, like...
We're going... Yes.
I don't know. Why is he going in this year? Why didn't he go in, like, 3 years after he...
I don't know. I don't get that either when there's 30 years after they've retired, they go in. I don't know. Anyway, here's Richard Griffin from the Toronto Star. Hey, Griff.
Hey, guys.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, the Baseball Hall of Fame has it all right.
Oh, yes. There's never any controversy when it comes to the Baseball Hall of Fame.
Yeah. No, nothing.
You've got a vote, right? You've had a vote for a long time.
You got to be 10 years a baseball writer, and so I've had a vote for 15 years maybe, and I've never got one wrong yet.
No, of course not.
There you go.
Any agents in the Hall of Fame? Like, I know there's heads of the PA. But...
This is one of my sticking points, is that Marvin Miller, who created the game, the modern game, the way we see it with everybody making money, with the players and the owners making money, they refused to put him in because of the fact that he was a union chief. And I think that it's a disgrace that commissioners have gone in before the guy who's had the most impact on the game has gone in.
Yeah, I agree with that. The reason I asked that is Scott Boras is maybe the most powerful agent in the history of the game, or real close to it. And I wouldn't expect that there's certain owners, specifically in Toronto, Minnesota, Florida, that would be looking to vote him into the Hall of Fame at this point. What did you make of Boras getting on his pulpit down at the GM meetings and teeing off on the Jays and blaming them for not spending money and not bringing in players that people want to come see? And that's why the attendance dropped the way that it did.
Well, it's got to be set up a certain way, in that the third day of every GM meeting and winter meeting for the last 20 years is Scott Boras Day. And he shows up, it's like Groundhog Day, where the media finds out what time he's going to be there. He shows up. He knows there's going to be 40 media members from all over baseball talking to him. So he's got his spiel set up, and the Blue Jays happen to be in it. And then after he rips into some cities, whoever's had a poor year where they didn't spend a lot of money, didn't spend enough money, then he starts selling his future Hall of Fame free agents that he's got for the year. So it's an annual event, a biannual event. So there's really no surprises, but there is a history with Boras and the Blue Jays, because going back to Bill Cottle in 1983 to 85 reliever, they sold the Blue Jays a bill of goods on this guy, and he was terrible. And then James Paxton, where Paul Beeston screwed James Paxton out of the last year of his college education because he called Scott Boras an agent. And then the NCAA wouldn't allow him to go back to the University of Kentucky. And so Boras has a hard-on for these guys in a lot of different ways. And so it's not surprising that he went ahead and he ripped into them. I mean, they were spending $162 million, which is top 10, not top 12, which should be good enough to compete for the playoffs, but they didn't spend it well.
Were you expecting, or do you believe, that Ross Atkins needed a harsher response because he wanted nothing to do with it yesterday?
No, I think that Ross Atkins, I was surprised that he was as opinionated as he was, which shows you where he's coming from. I mean, where he's really never wanted to get into any controversy. And I thought that he voiced his opinion. He needs to get a little more sarcastic with these situations just to fit into the Toronto sports scene, I think.
We were talking with Scotty Mack earlier, Griff. How come Toronto is, I mean, they're in a rebuild, but you can kind of get ahead of the process on a rebuild if you kind of wheel and deal one of these guys. How come they're never in conversation? They're 26. Machado and Bryce Harper, aren't they 26 and 27 years old? How come the Blue Jays are like never even ever mentioned as a possible suitor?
Well, I mean, they've got their own guy who they're expecting to be a Bryce Harper or a Manny Machado in Vlad Guerrero
Jr. It's one guy.
We talked about him as the season wound down and why he wasn't in the major leagues in September. And I think that's partially what Scott Boras was talking about. Teams that really aren't trying to win, because if they were trying to win, they would have had their best player in the organization up in the major leagues. But in terms of competing for existing free agents, I spoke to, or I asked Mark Shapiro the question at the end of the season about, is this just 2 years later than you really wanted it to? And he agreed, and he said that they had reached a point in 2015-16 where they needed to keep the fans coming to the ballpark. And when they lose 700,000 fans, it's time for that rebuild, which he wanted to do 2 years ago. So he's just getting into his game plan that he had set for 2016 until Alex Anthopoulos spoiled it by going out and winning.
With Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star. And that's why I think Atkins, with the response that he had, he knew he couldn't really challenge Boras on the main points. Boras kind of hit the nail on the head. They're not going to spend money, and they're embracing the fact that they're going to lose.
Yeah, they're not going to spend money. And, I mean, he knows that Vlad Guerrero Jr. could have contributed in September. There's no doubt that he would have been a star right off the bat. I mean, you look at guys around baseball, 19 and 20 year olds, and now that players are armed with the sabermetrics and the analytics and the computer stats, experience in the minor leagues is becoming less and less important, because coaches are telling you where to position yourself. They're telling you what to expect from certain pitchers. So you're going to see more and more young players coming up and succeeding. And the Blue Jays are going to go from $162 million in payroll. They'll probably be, before they go out and acquire any pitching free agents, if they're going to do that, one or two, maybe a Jay Happ or somebody, they'll be down around $100 million, maybe even a little below. And that's only because they're all controllable players. All the young players are controllable players. And you can dictate what you're going to pay them. You don't have to pay them the $10 to $15 million for giving you the same thing that these young guys are giving you.
What's your read on this Harper Machado sweepstake? How do you see it playing out?
Well, I don't think Machado helped himself with his performance in the World Series, with his lack of effort in certain situations. But there were only two or three or four franchises that were going to be in the competition anyway. I think Bryce Harper is a once-in-a-generation type player. Manny Machado is going to probably end up with the Yankees. And who knows? I mean, the Dodgers could reach out and get Bryce Harper. But these guys are going to get their money. And it's becoming like a, and as rightly it should be, I mean, mediocre players no longer can pull themselves up on what the superstars earn and say, I'm half as good as Bryce Harper, so give me half his money. It doesn't work like that anymore. It's becoming more like the Hollywood system, where the stars are going to make the money and the extras are going to be killed off in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah, definitely feels that way. And that said, last year was strange. Like, you look at the way J.D. Martinez played and how he played in Arizona after the D-backs acquired him.
He had to wait it out a bit.
He had to wait it out. Yeah. And he didn't get paid as much as many people thought he would get paid.
Well, then you get Bill James in Boston shooting his mouth off after spending the first 40 years of his life living in his mom's basement doing stats. And now he's an expert on what a major league ball player is and how easy it is to replace them. And, you know, that's BS, too. And Scott Boras called, the Players Union called Bill James out on that. And it's going to come into play when the next basic agreement comes in, because it seems like that's a reason that major league teams are depressing what would be expected of for free agent salaries, the top free agent salaries.
Thank you, Griff. Always appreciate you doing this.
Okay, guys, anytime.
There's Richard Griffin of the Toronto Star.
Griff was bringing the heat.
Takes a shot at Bill James.
Mm-hmm.
And said hard on.
Yes.
Scott need Boris. To, and need to bring that back up to it.
I might come back up at some point, I would think.
Yeah, he's like, that guy has a hard on for something. It was cool.
Well, Boris is just trying to get his players paid. I mean, he's right. Boris has been doing this forever. He sets up shop. He's got it all scripted out. He knows who he's going to pinpoint.
Where are you at with agents that do that, though?
It's a hero move.
He's not kidding. He does it every year I've worked here.
Yeah.
It goes to this agent, Boris. Every year he does this.
That's why.
And I think it's two or three consecutive years where he's thrown in the Blue Jays.
Yeah, he's picked off the Jays.
And I don't know if it's because of Sanchez or...
Well, must have somebody like...
That's part of it. He's got Sanchez. He also knows that Rodgers they're technically worth more than...
A lot.
Any other owner, probably. Yeah. So he knows that they've got some money, but it's... That's why I don't blame Atkins for not going back at him. He's like, well, how does it serve me any good if I'm going to pick a public fight with this guy? I know he started it. Boris started that.
Yeah.
But what's Atkins going to say? If anyone's going to respond to it, it's got to be Shapiro. Shapiro's the guy who's running the operation in terms of dollars and cents.
And they got to be careful. Agents and managers... They may disagree on one thing, but then there'll be another player that they're begging for a job from that manager.
It goes both ways.
It goes both ways. Yeah. So you start shooting from the hip and burning bridges. The manager will go, yeah, I remember that. Mm-hmm. When you've got a AAA player, you're trying to get signed.
Yeah.
And I go, you know what, take a lap because you're being a hero about this.
Exactly. It doesn't make sense for the Jays to start going back at them. And even though, again, he has no interest in Toronto, the baseball market. Scott Boras doesn't care about Blue Jays fans or the Blue Jays.
No.
But what he said holds some truth. I mean, they're not in the business of winning right now. They are not going to win a lot of games next year, and the Blue Jays know it. And they're not interested in spending money because they're bottoming out and they're going to play the kids. So you can't challenge the truth.
Yeah, you're right.
It was, you know, abrasive and over the top, but the truth is the truth, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
You all right?
All good.
So we're going to get back to Hall of Famers.
Tell me you're going to interview that guy.
Yakushev?
Mm-hmm.
I drew a blank on his name, and I'm talking about him tomorrow, but I really can't talk. I got played in the 70s. What am I going to say?
I never heard of the guy. I'm not going to lie. I don't know who he is.
Like, I'm going to talk about
But why does
Marty
he come
St.
up
Louis?
All of a sudden, Yakushev? Like, why wasn't he in 2 years ago?
I have
Five
no
years ago.
Well, we'll get Bob in here. Bob can represent the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Alexander Yakushev.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever heard of Yakushev? Oh, you haven't.
Yeah, I'm familiar.
The only thing that we got to go quickly, but I don't know if you guys saw this last week, but Nail Yakupov's dad took a shot at like Colorado and took a shot at Edmonton and stuff. The only thing I got out of the article is his dad's name is Rail.
Rail so and Nail?
Rail and Nail.
No way.
That's what I read. Like it's
Rail
like
Yakupov.
Yakupov's dad, Rail. I was like, hold on a second here.
That would be a go-to line at a Cougar bar. Hey, how are you guys, father and son? What's your names? Rail and Nail.
It is an icebreaker. No, it's actually a pretty solid handle.
I'm sure it's pronounced differently
interest?
In their native tongue.
All right, Bobby Mack and Pierre LeBrun in studio next. All right, big weekend here in Toronto, the Hall of Fame game tomorrow night, and the TSN panel will be down there. You can watch it on TSN 4. You can hear it right here on TSN 1050. Leafs, Devils, and then on Saturday, the Leafs are in Boston taking on the Bruins.
Mail it in day for me tomorrow, just TV work.
A floater day for
it's
you.
A floater
One of your
day.
Two
That's
floater days will be
yeah, we'll
used
have to
tomorrow.
Take that off to the chart, the floater chart.
Yes.
I get five. What are the other ones
Have you
called?
Heard this? Did you hear this
I told you,
nonsense earlier?
TSN employees... Bell, whatever it is, Bell, they get 5 sick days and
you're
two.
You're not an employee.
That's what I say.
Well, I come in here every day, like everyone
That's not
else.
An employee.
We're contractors, buddy.
That's right.
We're contractors. Yeah, we'll tell you about
ass.
It off air.
My ass, Pierre. 5 sick days and 2 floater days for me coming up.
Yeah, anyway, Bob McKenzie and Pierre LeBrun.
Why wouldn't
studio.
We get them?
Dude, what did I tell you? From July
every
2nd.
Every day is a floater day for you.
Yeah, exactly. just cruising.
Yeah. Well, exactly. There's seven more coming.
Anyway, we were having a bit of a heated discussion about goaltending.
That was good.
Yeah, it was great.
It
and
was
I heard
great.
You guys on the lunch today, Pierre, talking about the Leafs and Freddie Anderson, and he started all but two games so far. I mean, he can't play 75 games.
So right? my understanding is that Mike Babcock's plan in theory would be to go 60-22 this year. But I say in theory because I think that slumps and injuries and at the end of the year, the potential to try and finish ahead of Tampa and Boston, maybe. I don't know the way Tampa's playing, but...
In Montreal.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd think I would have brought that up, given I work all their games. No, but I mean, home ice will, you know, the Leafs have opened the playoffs on the road two straight years now. So the carrot, if it's there, I think will influence also what they do with Freddie Anderson at the end of the year.
Yeah. Feels like Tampa's gone to me already. Like they're doing what they did last year.
Best team in the league right now.
They're doing the best team in the league.
Doing it without Hedman, too. Yeah. He's been gone with six games now.
They're not better than Nashville. I watched Nashville last night. They're the best team in the league right now. They're good.
I would argue there's probably three or four. Like, I know that Tampa's outstanding. Nashville's outstanding. I think we haven't even seen Winnipeg's best yet.
They've been in and out.
Yeah, they've kind of been in and out. And you go over to Finland, that's going to mess them up a little bit, too. Like, I still think those top-tier teams haven't really fired on all. I was talking to somebody at Winnipeg the other day, and I'm like, yeah, our top guys have points, but they're not really going yet.
But remember, the thing to remember, too, though, is, and I mean, you can only deal with what we've seen so far.
Right.
But remember how good Tampa was? Remember at midseason last year? Mm-hmm. It was like every award. Vasilevsky was winning the Vezina.
Lapping the field.
Everybody was. Tampa was so much better than everybody. And by the end of the year.
Kucherov, Hart.
Yeah, by the end of the year.
They hit the ditch for the last 6 weeks.
By the end of the year, everybody's right all mingled in there. So we'll come talk to me in a month, and there'll be two more best teams in the National Hockey League.
Mm-hmm. That's true, but not to bring it back to this goalie thing that I can't let go of. Yeah, and I literally know the least about goaltending of anyone. I get it wrong all the time. But Vasilevsky, late last season, in the regular season, was quoted, I think, by Joe Smith, saying, I'm tired.
Yeah.
And so, again, I keep going back to this thing, and Noodles is the expert, but having lived it.
What you need is two capable of goalies, two guys that can play most nights. Now, there's a traditional one and a traditional two, but the two has to be able to give you something in the 20s, 25 games. And that's the challenge. Like, go out and take a look at the depth charts around the league. We were talking a little bit off air, like, Varlamov and Grubauer, that's a solid tandem.
That's pretty good, boy.
Because if Varley, who's had lower body issues, if he's got to miss a month, Grubauer can absorb those minutes, and there's not a big drop-off. When you see a massive drop-off between one and two, that hurts the confidence.
Well, that's most of the teams in the National Hockey League.
It is.
Because that's the reality of the salary cap.
It is.
Especially for teams that are paying a goalie $6, $7, $8, $9, $10 million dollars a year. Or even if you're not, like, I'm not sure what Vasilevsky's cap number is this year, but it doesn't matter because the Lightning are so capped out on so many other fronts that they can't afford to pay big money to a backup.
Well, you need a young guy on the rise that's still cheap. Like, Saros backing up Rene is probably Saros. The best tandem in the league, I think.
Yeah, Saros is really strong.
Yeah.
But you know, you take a look at some teams that are really good. You were just talking about Tampa. If Vasilevsky tweaks his groin and is out for 3-4 weeks, Louis Domingue's got to come in and absorb those minutes. Now, I'm not on the Louis Domingue bandwagon.
There's nobody on that bandwagon.
He's had some good games. But I just don't think when a team looks at it and you're sitting on the bench and you're looking out and saying, that guy's got to give us 15 games.
Well, and to bring it back home, who is Garrett Sparks?
Mm-hmm. Well, he's got to do it.
We'll find out. I guess this weekend he's going to get one of the two starts. Yeah. But that's the reality of the cap era, right? There will be some exceptions. But for the most part, the fourth line, the third D pairing, and the backup are going to make collectively under $5 million, give or take. I mean, you're just not going to pay people. You can't.
Yeah. But you need your backup to be, especially in today's world, if you're trying to, for lack of better words, manage the minutes of the starter. Calgary is a prime example. Mike Smith got worn down. David Riddick hit the ditch last year. He's played very
playing
well.
Playing right in slots, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, now he's playing well. But, like, Antti Niemi, this guy was dead on the vine. All of a sudden, he's given some pretty good minutes in Montreal, and you're happy with that. And he's making, what, 800? I think he's making 800.
Yeah, he'd be making not much, I would think.
But him and Price combined are making over 11.
Exactly, right. 11 million, but it... But
he put it that way.
It is, but...
By the way, since O hasn't spoken this segment, this counts as one of his floater days.
That's right. You're locked in. You just keep...
What does he know about goaltending?
Hey, do you want to chime in anytime soon? Or? Where'd you get that?
Yeah, where was that?
It's just sitting here. Mm-hmm. I'm showing well,
where did that come from?
Shut up.
Yeah. All right, it's a sign.
What am I supposed to say? You guys are having a chat?
All right. Well, let's get into the Hall of Fame stuff. Bob McKenzie, Pierre LeBrun in studio. I've said it feels like this is Gary Bettman's weekend with other players that happen to be going in. That's the sense I'm getting. It's all about Bettman this weekend. I personally don't think he should be in as a standing commissioner, but it doesn't matter now. He's in. But, I mean, you guys are journalists. You're reporters. Bob, you're affiliated with
Bob has to be a little careful here because he's on the actual selection committee.
I'm taking a floater day on this second.
Could be.
He is on the selection committee, and he's not allowed to speak about the process.
I'll only say this. Every sport, doesn't matter what sport it is, every sport, the commissioner, the president of the league, they go to the Hall of Fame. So the question, and unless there's some... You know, really extenuating circumstance.
Goodell in?
And
no, not standing. That's the thing. Goodell will probably get in there at some point.
Well, in a lot of cases, I mean, historically in hockey, you know, Ziegler was in while he was still serving. Mm-hmm. The point is, they all go to the Hall of Fame. So the only question then becomes timing. And that's all I'll say on that.
You can't say.
Yeah, I would have liked to. To have seen him wait until he was done as commissioner, but I also don't think you can deny what he's brought to the game and yeah. the business. I mean, the revenues.
Yeah,
like
players got to wait 3 years. Why does
yeah.
it mean?
Yeah, but
builders don't. No builders do. Like, there's active. Lou Lamoriello is in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Active GM.
Active general managers. Active coaches mm-hmm. sometimes are there. You know, active owners. Whatever the case, I don't think there's been an active referee.
Either. Put in Joel Quenneville, the mustache.
Well, there's a guy who's going to be in.
He will be.
Like, he's a lock.
No, I'm just saying, but I was joking.
But you could, like, you like, to my understanding, and I'd have to go back and read the bylaws or ask Jeff Denemy or Lanny McDonald or somebody what the deal is. But if somebody were to nominate Joel Quenneville, he could be in the Hall of Fame now.
Yeah. I think he's a Hall of Fame.
You can make
coach.
A pretty strong case, so he's a lock.
But I disagree, yeah. Brian. And maybe you've been monitoring social media more than me. But you know, I maybe it's also because I just wrote a long piece on Marty Brodeur this week for The Athletic about his.
Yeah.
He's the all-time winningest goalie going in the Hall of Fame. He's going to create a lot of buzz. Marty St. Louis, an amazing story, undrafted, going in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I just think there's no opinion there. You know, like, it's a celebration. Brodeur is an obvious choice. Of course he's in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, it's
a celebration of his career. Bettman, he's polarizing, and there's an opinion.
Well, that's why people talk about
exactly.
it. But to that point, I think Willie O'Ree, as we get closer to the weekend, I think there'll be more and more talk about Willie O'Ree, mm-hmm. and justifiably so.
His impact, yeah.
Yeah. What about Bettman's contract? We were talking about this earlier. What's his? Do you guys know what the?
I forget how many.
I'm trying to remember. He extended it during after the last CBA was negotiated, and he kind of does that. He sort of mirrors a lot of what's going on with the CBA. Not exactly, I think, but sort of in that ballpark.
Yeah, I thought it was linked.
He's not.
To,
put it this way: regardless of what his contract status is, he's not going anywhere anytime soon. He enjoys working, and he enjoys the job, and he's going to keep doing it. For the foreseeable future.
I'm reading an article that said that he signed a 7-year extension, and that was in 2016. Does that sound right?
Well, I think he signed that at the All-Star game in Nashville.
Yeah, Bettman will remain at the helm of the NHL into 2022 after signing
the 7-year
contract extension.
And that's the end of the CBA 2022, in theory.
According to TSN, the reporter's Michael Farber. That was
yeah, so it would be directly linked to the length of this CBA.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Bob McKenzie, Pierre LeBrun in studio. The gratuitous William Nylander question. We'll throw it out there. Take it.
Dead quiet, baby.
Just nothing, huh?
Dead quiet. No reason to believe that there's any progress being made on the negotiation front. I would assume teams are still calling the Leafs. This is my opinion. The level of frustration that there isn't a deal is probably growing on both sides. I don't believe the Leafs are at the point where they said, you know what, screw this, let's just trade them. But I believe that we may be getting closer to that.
Now, interestingly, Lewis Gross, who's the agent for, of course, for William Nylander, is also the agent for Marty St. Louis. And so
they're here.
I suspect that he... Well, no, I suspect it'd be shocking if he wasn't here for Marty St. Louis' Hall of Fame weekend. So I don't know if that would be used as an opportunity to meet with Kyle Dubas or not. I mean, the Leafs are going on the road after tomorrow night, so... Kind of depends where Dubas is.
This kind of seems like
plus there's telephones.
Yeah, I heard about that.
It seems like one side said that's our number, and the other's like that's our number.
I got a good idea for a reality show. So it's Dubas and Lewis Gross in the back of an Uber.
Oh boy,
wouldn't that be
video and audio and
no, in their own Ubers. They can't be together because.
I think what you're going to start to hear potentially. As we get closer to December 1st, is two things coming from different sources. Something Leafs related where we're ready to let him sit all year if we don't like the trade offers or we're not going to panic. And something player side where it's going to be, we're ready to sit out the whole year no matter what. So you're going to start, I think, hearing some spin,
yeah.
I guess is
yeah.
what I would say.
Well, and I can understand that, but I can make a strong case for the Leafs saying, go ahead, sit out the whole year, just to send a message.
Yeah, but it's even so, on both sides, there's enormous loss.
Yeah,
sure. The Toronto Maple Leafs, their window's open. They've got Tavares. So you add Tavares and you delete Nylander for the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got a gain. I believe there's a net gain there, but it's not a huge one.
No, it's not ideal. I would not suggest that.
Let me ask you this.
It sends a pretty serious message.
Notwithstanding the fact that I don't really know how Tom Dundon could afford William Nylander, given how he's really tried to bring salaries down and keep salaries tight in Carolina, let's say somehow they can sign William Nylander. Would you, if you were Kyle Dubas, would you take Brett Pesce one for one for William Nylander?
No.
No.
Well, then...
Exactly.
It might be a tough trade market. I mean, that's...
Mm-hmm. And that's the point.
And plus, the other thing is that... And even if you were reading the hypothetical here, but even if you were to get Brett Pesce and something, the end something, again, you're
doesn't help you now.
You're giving up a really quality young player for a good defenseman and something, and you don't want to get into a whole bunch of and somethings.
On paper, it looks bad too because you'll never ever include the and something. You'll just look. Yeah.
It's always the one for one.
Exactly. And, yeah. And then now he comes to Toronto, and I keep saying this, the defenseman gets less points and maybe less impactful as far as on the score sheet.
Right.
And it becomes, on a smaller scale, the Taylor Hall, Adam Larson.
Right.
Not that I'm saying that Carolina would do it or the Toronto would do it, but what about Nylander for Slavin one for one?
I mean, I think he's our best defenseman myself.
That kid is really
I think the Leafs
good.
Would probably do that.
That'd be a tough one, yeah.
They have Dougie
Hamilton.
I would
Hamilton. Do that,
too. Like, they,
There's nice... In either case, the one thing Carolina's got going is it's got good defensemen who are under contract for many years.
Cap-friendly, yeah. Other than Falk, he needs a deal in a year.
Right,
but
those other two guys... So, I don't know.
And
I think the goal is still to get him signed.
I think he will sign.
Yeah, I think he will, too.
But going back to... why the Leafs have been reluctant to go down the trade route so far anyway, and I don't know how Bob feels, but I think that you've got, again, a first-year GM, and this is his first crisis, and no matter how you spin it, I did a story, I interviewed Darcy Regier about the Michael Pekka standoff in 2001. Pekka missed an entire year.
We did that on this show first, Pierre.
Sorry. And one of the things Darcy Regier said is that it was an awful feeling when it ended and you had to trade Michael Pekka because you don't win that trade.
Yeah.
You didn't get it resolved. You didn't sign Michael Pekka, who's your team captain, and you end up making a trade that doesn't really help your team.
Well, how did you say that's an awful feeling, though? He could have just paid him. It's over.
There is that, too.
Well, Pekka, we had him on, and he said at some point he was the one that called up Regier and just said, that's it.
Yeah,
like, it's not a negotiation anymore.
Yeah.
I'm demanding a trade. I'll never play for you again.
Yeah.
Which, to be fair to Nylander, it doesn't sound as if he's suggested that. Or
no, but I was just giving you the GM's perspective here in terms of what Darcy Regier remembers now, the awful feeling in his stomach. I'm saying that's why Kyle Dubas, I don't think, wants to start his account as I didn't get this done. Just a feeling.
It always blows my mind how a GM is willing to put the stake in the ground for a guy they're familiar with, like a team captain, And in the summer, they'll go give a guy twice more money that they've never played a game for them, like an unrestricted free agent. It's like, here you go. That guy, that drives me nuts. No. But it just seems like they pick a guy. Like, Jimmy Rutherford has gone to arbitration once in his career. Do you know who with?
Is it you?
Yeah. I'm like, Jimmy. All the stiffs that you've paid over the years, and you want to go to ARB with me?
Too many floater
Too
days,
many
I guess.
Floater days.
That's right. There's a lot of them down there in Carolina.
No.
Yeah. Too many floater days.
O tried writing in a few in the contract.
Oh, yeah. Get that in the arbitration case. Bob McKenzie, Pierre LeBrun in studio. No coaches fired at any point last year. Two of them in like 72 hours this year. What's the next move would be big trades, isn't it? Like, what's?
I think there's more trade talk happening now. There's still some coaches, I guess, that got to look over their shoulder. But I think the trade talk's picking up across the league now.
Pitt's probably going to want to. They're not.
They got to do something. Greg's already reported that Daniel Sprong could be on the move. And I realize it's a lower-level thing, but you never know with trades. Sometimes a little spark, a little change of chemistry helps. But yeah. They're pretty stale right now, and they need something. Although, you know what? Let's be honest. They've lost five in a row. That's the headline, and rightfully so. They were so good last night. Like, if it wasn't for Holtby, they dominated that game.
Yeah. And they're Pittsburgh. Well. It seems like they do this every year.
Jimmy's, I think, is a little more alarmed at how long it's gone on.
Really?
You know, we're now into the end of the first week in November, and the bad things that happened early on that you just write off to, you know what, Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, you know, if we don't start quite on time, no big deal. We'll be there when we need to answer the bell. But points you lose in October are as valuable as the points you lose down the stretch.
Well, they had that run. They won in Toronto. They won in... They went Calgary, west. Edmonton, Vancouver.
Yeah, yeah they went
and then they were sitting pretty, and they came home, and it's just been garbage since.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think there are teams that are starting to look like, you know, I think of the Anaheim Ducks, who started slow, are starting to come around a bit, though.
But they were banged up.
But I think Bob Murray probably at some point might do something. You got a lot of people have talked about.
Lots of youth there to move.
Yeah.
If they want.
A lot of people
Bobby
talk.
Murray start feeling some fire. That guy's been around a long time. It's like he makes trades, he fires the coach. It's like he's the guy that puts the players together. He's got nine lives.
They've been a pretty good drafting team.
They've been a pretty good team out there.
They've been a really competitive team, but they obviously now it's getting harder because, you know, they're dealing with an aging core, although, you know, Perry's out obviously longer term, but still rely on Getzlaff, still rely on Kessler in key roles. But they've got some good kids coming, and they've drafted well.
I think the Ducks at some point will trade for a D. You know, we talked on insider trading. You know, forget whether or not Nylander ever happens, but Carolina is eager to add a top six forward over the next couple months here. So it's going to start to unravel. I mean, L.A., they made the coaching changes. Bob talked about insider trading, but at some point, if the coaching change isn't enough,
Moving some players.
Well, start tanking for Jack Hughes. That would be my suggestion.
Well, that'll be the,
you know.
That'll be the next step.
All right, boys. Good seeing you guys.
All right, fellas.
There's Bob McKenzie and Pierre LeBrun, our
TSN floating here.
Insiders. Never.
Hardworking.
Never.
Some floating.
Always working hard.
Just floated through that segment, Pierre. Who are you kidding?
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine next. All right, Thursday nighter tonight, Carolina and Pittsburgh, two very good teams, two big quarterbacks that take lickings, but they rarely go down. Cam Newton taking on Roethlisberger tonight. Time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Over the number, passing completions for Cam, 21.5 tonight. He's throwing almost at 70%. Like, he's locked in, and I think that continues.
What the hell's with his clothes, man? I know you want to make a statement, but he's gone over the top. Like, it's...
I kind of support that he's consistent with it. He doesn't just show up one week and then he's in a...
I saw the whole thing today, and what I thought was, I find it over the top, but I also thought, how much money does this guy spend on, like, for that one outfit, for that one...
Millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not kidding. How about you? Like, throughout his career, he will spend millions of dollars on clothes.
But he makes millions of dollars.
That's he's making $20 million a year, you know?
Impressive.
Like, there was I think it was Antonio Walker. I'd have to look that up. But he had a different suit for every single game he played in the NBA. I'm pretty sure.
Come on.
82 suits a year, I'm pretty sure.
No.
I'm telling you, we'd have to look it up. And
show
I'm pretty
me the
sure.
story tomorrow or I'm not believing
okay.
it. 82 is...
I will find it, but I'm pretty sure. And each suit was like $10,000.
Yeah, well, 80...
Like, it was ridiculous.
It.
82 suits is not that crazy if you're spending $1,000 on a suit. Like, for these guys, 82 grand is nothing.
Yeah, it's nothing. And they would have closets that are so expansive.
Yeah, but if it's 820 grand a year, that's a bit of a different story. Anyway, over the number on pass completions for camp tonight. Over the number, Christian McCaffrey, 55.5 total yards. And under the number, Juju Smith-Schuster, 6 total receptions tonight. Throw down 20, you can score 95. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio, and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game. So tomorrow, it's Leafs-Devils down at Scotiabank Arena. Hall of Fame night.
Yes.
Noodles, you and I will be riding solo because, oh, you're down there doing TV with the panel.
Yep.
And then we're at the Hall of Fame on Monday.
Yes,
we didn't
right.
go last year because I blew my knee out, but
well,
we are going
why.
To be back this year. So
right, be a big Monday,
big Monday, big weekend, big Thursday night or tonight. Enjoy that. Enjoy your evenings, Noodles and I.
Yes,
we are back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We're gonna you two are gonna chat then.
Yes.